Cavalcade of Kings. Queen Mary the First. When Edward VI died in the seventh year of his reign, the Duke of Northumberland was anxious to keep the young king's death a secret in order to get his two sisters, Mary and Elizabeth, into his power. Mary, the legitimate heir to the throne, was warned of the Duke's plan and sought the protection of the Earl of Arundel at Norfolk. When the king's death became known, the council, which had governed the realm during Edward's minority and the Duke of Northumberland, sent for the Lord Mayor of London. We find them discussing the paper which Edward had signed, appointing his cousin, the Lady Jane Grey, daughter-in-law of the Duke of Northumberland, as his successor. Cranmer, Archbishop of Canterbury, opposes this as an injustice to the Princess Mary. His opposition rouses the hostility of Northumberland, who now addresses the council.
My lords, this meddlesome priest raises his voice in argument against the royal wishes of the late king, whose privilege it was to appoint his own successor to the throne. My lord bishop also accuses me of treason in supporting the cause of the successor appointed by our late king, namely the Lady Jane Grey. In all faith, my lords, I ask of ye, is it treason to obey orders that have been issued under the royal seal?
One moment, my son. I accuse ye not of treason, but of injustice to Mary, who is the rightful heir to the throne.
Our king thought differently, else he would not have set her aside and appointed his cousin as his heir and successor.
Our late king was persuaded to think differently by the very glib tongue of the Duke of Northumberland.
Hot blood! Dear father, I forced his majesty to sign the document.
Yea, my son, by playing upon the weakness of his condition, and also by stressing the danger of Mary reviving the Catholic faith should she become queen.
In truth, sir, 'tis but your cloth that saves you from a sword.
I pray ye, noble sir, and ye, most reverend bishop, to cease this snapping and snarling. 'Twould seem that the council hall has become an alley where dogs are forced to fight.
I but ask for justice to be done, my lord mayor, not else.
And what justice do you hope to receive at the hands of Mary, should she ascend the throne? Remember, priest, 'twas you who pronounced the marriage of her father and mother by God's laws and by man's laws, incestuous and unlawful. Moreover, you have slaved to bring about the reformed religion which is so abhorrent to the princess.
Full well I know my head would be one of the first to fall if Mary were crowned. Even so, I still ask justice for her.
My lord bishop asks for justice for Mary. But I say, noble sirs, that to disobey the written wishes and prayers of our late king is to commit the greatest injustice of all.
Aye.
My lords, I beg of you to ponder well upon this subject. Nothing but evil will come out of Mary's reign, which will be one long nightmare of strife, actuated by her oft-expressed desire for revenge upon her mother's slanderers.
All right, my lord duke. Ruling sentiment must be relegated to the background if England is to be served.
Aye.
Then ye accept the Lady Jane Grey as your queen?
Aye.
Tis well. I shall request her to join us so that she may learn of her change of fortunes. Guard, request the Lady Jane Grey to honor us with her presence, and it pleases her convenience.
It shall be done, my lord duke.
My son, I pray to God that your impetuosity will not rebound upon your own head. But I fear me. In truth, I fear me. Nothing good will come out of it.
Oh, stifle thy crinklings, old raven. The lady approaches.
You sent for me, my lord?
Yes, my lady. We have very important matters to discuss with you. Pray, be seated.
But surely, my lord duke, there must be some mistake. You cannot mean me to sit with the Council of Regency.
There is no mistake, my lady.
If faith, noble sir, it is a great honor to confer upon one so humble as I.
A far greater honor is yet to be conferred upon thee, sweet lady.
I would not be a woman if I were not curious, my lord duke. Therefore, I pray thee to enlighten me.
My lady, our beloved king is dead.
The king? My sweet cousin dead? Oh, this is sad, sad tidings to impart, sir. For I loved Edward as I would a brother.
And the king loved you better than a sister. For he made a will naming you his heir and successor to the throne.
My lord,
Some wine, quickly. The poor child is swooning.
Drink this.
Thank you, good father. The shock was too much for me. But I am recovered again.
My lords, I ask that ye accept the Lady Jane Grey as your queen, and that ye bow the knee unto her in homage.
Long live Queen Jane! Long live Queen Jane!
My lords, my heart is full of grief for the death of my dear cousin, the king. And I am also very bewildered and not a little afraid of the great honor he has conferred upon me. For I am but a simple girl, and most unfit to govern the kingdom. But if it was Edward's wish that I become queen, and if my queenship finds favor in the eyes of my lords and the people, then I accept the great honor, and pray that God will direct me along the path of duty and goodness.
Lady Jane Grey was proclaimed queen, but the whole country suspected Northumberland and favored Princess Mary, who, supported by her friends, was able without bloodshed to enter London in triumph. A few weeks later, Northumberland was executed, and Lady Jane Grey, the innocent victim of his intrigue, was imprisoned in the Tower. Mary immediately set about restoring the Catholic faith, and the bishops Latimer, Ridley, and Cranmer were speedily imprisoned. Later, Mary's marriage with Philip II of Spain aroused the hostility of the English people and caused the revolt of the people of Kent, who under the leadership of Sir Thomas Wyatt marched on London. They were defeated and Wyatt taken prisoner. At the moment, we find Mary and Philip discussing the affair at the palace.
The dog, the rebel dog, to dare to flout me? Ah, but he shall suffer for his temerity. I have a special method for dealing with such as he. Sir Thomas Wyatt. Ah, ere long he will suffer the fate of all traitors.
No, I wish you would not lose your temper, Mary. You are positively ugly when you are angry. Uglier than usual, I mean.
Have a care, Philip. Even you can drive me too far. Already I've suffered much by my marriage with you. The people loathe you, and this rising of Kent is but the smoke of a fire which yet may spread all over England.
English clod. Common clay who possess not an atom of culture or refinement. All in but of white did I ever leave the sovereignty of the Spanish court to come here to all the beef-eating swine of England.
I alone rule England, Philip.
Oh, and I rule you. Come here, you grey, ox-eyed creature. Kiss me, not my lips. That would be too great an honor for you. You may kiss my hand instead.
Philip, I...
Do as I command. There. You poor fool.
Philip, Philip, why are you so cruel to me? You are breaking my heart with your taunts and the loathsome jests you make at my expense amongst your familiar courtiers.
Oh, spare me thy blotherings in God's name.
Oh, Philip.
Quiet. Thy chancellor approaches.
By your leave, your majesty.
What seek ye, my lord chancellor?
I will discuss the sentence to be imposed upon Thomas Wyatt, gracious lady.
Let him suffer the fate of all traitors. Hang him, and then let him be quartered as a warning to others.
Yes, your majesty. And may I suggest that the time has arrived when a Lady Jane Grey, whom ye have dealt with so leniently in the past, has become a serious menace to your majesty's peace and the peace of the realm. The people are in angry mood, and anything may happen. Yea, 'tis even said there is a plot afoot to place the girl upon the throne again.
Jane Grey, I am tired unto death of the baggage and her scheming relations.
It would be wise to put her out of the way permanently, your majesty. I have brought papers ordering her execution. Your counselors think it best.
Yes, yes, 'tis the only way, my lord chancellor. Give me the papers and I'll sign them.
Lady Jane Grey was beheaded, and both her father and husband suffered the same fate. Later, Philip declared war on France. The result of this war was the loss of Calais to England. It is now November the 17th, 1558, and Mary is dying. In her delirium, she imagines she sees Latimer, one of the Protestant martyrs, being burned at the stake. Cardinal Pole is at her bedside.
Latimer! Latimer! Oh, God, take him away! Holy Father, take him away. I can't bear the sight of his agony.
Mention not the name of the heretic Latimer, my daughter. There's a sacrilege in my presence.
Shh, good priest. Latimer is speaking.
Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. Soon all will be over, and we shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out. And though their fires burn our bodies to ashes, they cannot burn our souls.
Didst hear, Holy Father? Didst hear the voice of Latimer?
Was the voice of the devil that thou heard, my daughter?
Oh, then 'twas sent by Philip to taunt me. Oh, why does not my husband come to my side?
Thy husband is in Spain, my daughter.
He knows I am stricken unto death with this fever, and yet he refuses to come to me. He's heartless. Heartless, he cares not for my sufferings. Oh, Holy Father, I am racked to the pains of death.
Tis the fever, my daughter, but will soon pass.
And my life shall pass with it, good Cardinal. And all my work shall be undone by Elizabeth, my sister, when she ascends the throne. My life has held nothing but disappointment and bitter failure for me, Holy Father. And when I am dead and my body opened, ye shall see the word Calais written on my heart.